I speak to you today in the name of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Our collect today and the gospel lesson points us deeply to truth. In our collect, we pray, grant us perfectly to know your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the way, the truth, and the life. And in our gospel lesson, Jesus tells his disciples, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. So, is Jesus truth? Or is Spirit truth? Yes would be the answer. We don't always think of the Trinitarian aspects of our faith, unless it's Trinity Sunday, of course, which will be upon us very soon. Oftentimes, we're thinking about members of the Trinity distinct one from another. We might speak of the God of creation, as one of the other reading options today from Deuteronomy does. It speaks about God who created all the human beings on the earth. Or because it's Easter season, we've been speaking a lot about Jesus and his resurrection from the dead and what that means for us after we die. And soon, on Pentecost Sunday, our focus will turn to the coming of the Holy Spirit and the birth of the church. In fact, today's message from Jesus is pointing the disciples towards that upcoming Pentecostal experience. When he tells the disciples, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. So it's common for us to be talking about or thinking about one member of our triune God at a time. In fact, I come across different people who seem to access God easier through one member of the Trinity over the others. And that's okay. As long as we remember that they are all united and together one God. Because in reality, we can't separate the persons of the Trinity in these ways. Although distinct, they are always in union as our one God. Even God talks of self as plural when he creates and he says, let us make man in our image after our likeness. God is Trinity, three persons, one God. So yes, there is one God, and yes, there is one truth, which is God's truth. Now God will, however, find different ways to bring his truth to us. This week we begin in Acts with Philip and an Ethiopian eunuch. Philip follows the prompting of the Holy Spirit, and he travels down a road towards Gaza. And then he's told by the Spirit to approach this man who's off reading in his chariot. He sees him reading from Holy Scripture, a writing from the prophet Isaiah. And he asks him, do you understand what you are reading? The eunuch replies, how can I unless someone guides me? This passage from Acts highlights one way that God shows us his truth. Through Holy Scripture, God's inspired word written down, and then read and understood through community, see, through relationship with one another. In fact, these together combine one of my greatest passions, which is to help people study and learn what Holy Scripture is teaching us so that we can know God's truth and also so that it can direct our living in the most joyful and blessed ways. Now this truth foretold by Isaiah comes to bear in God's incarnation through Jesus Christ. One could not realize this, reading these few lines from Isaiah independently, one would think, who is the he who was led like a sheep to a slaughter? And how does one find good news in that? And even if they did come to realize this was God incarnate, they might wonder, how or why would God subject himself in that way? See, Isaiah was foretelling about a sacrifice to come, but he's not just foretelling about the sacrifice itself, but the very demeanor of the sacrifice. He writes, he was silent before its shearer, humiliated, denied justice, his very life taken away from earth. Again, if we knew this was pointing to God incarnate in Jesus Christ, we would still wonder, why would God subject himself in this way? See, it was only through relationship with Philip that the eunuch can understand how that sacrifice is deeply rooted in love, God's love for us. Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who willingly becomes the sacrifice for the unrighteous, so that relationship with God can be repaired and restored. This is Jesus who loves us this much, obedient even to death. God's love poured out for us. Now in his first letter, John also speaks to this kind of love. He writes, little children, let us not love in word or speech, but in truth and action. Jesus as the sacrifice is truly love in truth and action. And this is what sets Jesus apart from anyone who ever lived or any prophet that ever was sent by God. Because he doesn't just tell about God. Jesus is God as he does God's reconciling work. That is love itself in truth and action. And this is our call. This is the call to Christians. We hear this today directly from Jesus' lips. He tells his disciples, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth. So we see that the truth, God's truth, is connected to obedience. Obedience to keeping or following what God has commanded. Love in truth and action. Now, how we come to know of these commandments is through God's written word and through the words Jesus taught his followers, and also through the conviction of the Holy Spirit within us, that Spirit of truth that resides with us, and it guides us every single day. Jesus tells us the Father will give us an advocate. This is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, because he abides in you, and he will be in you. What a wonderful promise to us. Not only will Almighty God, God of all creation, humble himself and be born a man to live and die for us in sacrifice, but then that very God will come and abide with us and will be in us so that he can guide us in all truth. See, never again will we be orphaned or alone or without help. Because God will be with us in all things and at all times. And having God within us to guide us means we need to learn God's language. Because without knowing God's language, he could be communicating to us, but we might not understand. So we might not follow. Like the eunuch who read Holy Scripture on his own, he really didn't understand what he was reading until Philip, starting with Scripture, explained to him the good news about Jesus. See, this is why study of the Holy Scripture in fellowship with each other is so important, because it's how we come to recognize God's voice, how we come to understand his words, and how we start to connect together his teachings, and we truly begin to know him through his truth relayed to us. Now, every person baptized receives the gift of the Holy Spirit of God. Yet that Spirit of truth is deeply rooted in God's love. God's love, which comes to us in truth through our love and action. Obedience. As I said earlier, obedience and love are so deeply connected. And we even see this within our triune God himself, through Jesus' obedience to the Father and love displayed to us through his sacrifice, and then his promise of the coming of the Holy Spirit. So it's what roots us in our relationship with our God. When Jesus promised to send this advocate, he said, "They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." So in the end, we know that the ultimate truth on all earth is love, God's love. It is our greatest desire. It is our greatest need, and it's also our greatest call. And this is his commandment, that we should believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he has commanded us. Amen.